The epistle for the Sunday within the octave of Christmas is taken from Galatians chapter 4. Brethren, as long as the heir is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. So we also, when we were children, were serving under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore now he is not a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir also through God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 2. At that time, Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were wondering at those things which were spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be contradicted, and thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was far advanced in years, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow until 84 years, who departed not from the temple, by fastings and prayers, serving night and day. Now she at the same hour, coming in, confessed to the Lord, and spoke of him to all that looked for the redemption of Israel. And after they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong, full of wisdom and of grace of God was in him. Please be seated. And thy own soul a sword shall pierce. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On today's Gospel, we find St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary bringing our Lord Jesus Christ to the holy man Simeon. So this is the presentation at the temple that they are bringing our Lord. And so for Simeon, he wanted to see his Savior before dying. We have his words recorded in the Canticle of Simeon at Compline, the Nunc Dimittis. Now, O Lord, you can dismiss thy servant in peace, because he has seen the salvation of the world, and he has held him in his arms. But it was not the only thing that this holy man had said. He also made 2 prophecies, one concerning our Lord, saying that our Lord would be set to be the rise and the fall of many in Israel, and that he would be a sign of contradiction to them. And a sign of contradiction because of our Lord's life, his words, his actions. It's a contradiction to the world and how it lives. But then also Simeon, he also talked about the Blessed Virgin Mary, but he mentions to Our Lady that thy own soul a sword shall pierce. And this obviously we recognize as the 7 sorrows of Our Lady. And it's something that with these 2 prophecies, yes, we can see the sorrow that Our Lady would have to endure, seeing that her son, yes, would be for the rise and the fall of many, and that through his life he would be a contradiction to the world, a sign of contradiction. I mean, obviously we can say the rise of many because of our Lord's life and those that followed him, seeing him as a model. Through that, through following of his commandments, yes, they would rise with our Lord. But and also the fall, and that's because of people's obstinacy, because of staying in sin, that they, in turn, would then fall, obviously, from the grace of God, because they would go against what our Lord had been preaching, had lived. And so, yes, we can see that there's the sorrow of Our Lady, and understanding that, but then also the sorrow that Our Lady, in witnessing her son suffer so much, to suffer so much, and for some souls, that they would turn their back on our Lord. And so granted, we can say that our Lord suffered for all souls, that he wants all souls into heaven, but it won't happen. again because of the obstinacy of mankind. That is what our Lord suffered in his agony in the garden, that he could see the souls that had turned their back on him, that they would not be saved. And this is also what one of the swords that pierced Our Lady's heart. Because the love of a mother that she has not only for her child, but then because we have been given to Our Lady as spiritual children, that she has a love for all of our souls. And so this caused the sorrow in Our Lady. This caused the pain that she would endure. But we can say that she willingly endured this pain because she wanted to work with her Son for the redemption of mankind. And so going back into understanding that why our Lord came into this world in the darkness of the night at Christmas time was to redeem mankind. That was his purpose. He was the promised redeemer for that, this light that would come into the world. A child is born unto us to redeem mankind. And so we see very clearly the purpose of why our Lord came. And even at the very beginning, when he was presented in the temple, that very clearly it showed what was the mission of our Lord. That he would go out to redeem mankind, but then also there would be some that would turn their back on that grace. And so it's interesting to see how the church places this within the octave of Christmas. Gives us this gospel to think about, to contemplate. Among all the joy that we have at Christmas because our Savior has come, that very quickly it brings us also to the sorrow and the sufferings that we would endure. But you see very clearly of how the church gives us that to think about. To contemplate why our Lord came into this world, as I say, for the redemption of mankind. And so the path of our Lord would begin at Christmas time, but it would end with his crucifixion. And then obviously his resurrection. And so it's something that the church does not want us to lose sight of. And not only not losing sight of that, but then also not to be discouraged by that. Because we do, we see the end result. Even though, yes, our Lord had to go through the sufferings, the pain of the cross, his agony, all of these things, and Our Lady was there right with him, suffering all of these things, it is with the end in mind that our Lord, 3 days later, would resurrect. And so that is, for us, the cycle that we see. The understanding clearly of the liturgical year for us to grasp, to understand, to keep always in mind, to keep focus on. Because as I say, otherwise, yes, we could be very discouraged by that. The sufferings, the toils, but it's with a purpose in mind. It's with an end in view for us. We can say the light at the end of the tunnel. And that is what we must always stay focused on. But that's why also I would say that the church gives to us this understanding of that. Even amongst the joy that we have, it brings up in saying, do not forget and don't be discouraged by sometimes the crosses and the trials of life. These sufferings that you will have to undergo in order to get to the end. And so yes, with Simeon's prophecy, you know, he talks about the rise and the fall of many, the sufferings that Our Lady would have to endure. And so we can ask, why? Why was this brought up? Why was this brought up at that time? Because it gives to us the understanding that there will not be a reward without, say, the cross that will come. The famous words of our Lord, who is greater than the Master. That we would follow this path that our Lord had to endure for all of us, in order for all of us to get to heaven. And that's what he gives to us, the church gives to us to try to understand. But we see that Our Lady plays a prominent part in that. how she suffered for mankind, this heart of a mother, that she would be the co-redemptrix, that she would willingly suffer these things. And we can see that resignation of Our Lady, resignation to divine providence. It all started with her fiat, but then it ends with her having her son in her arms. And that's where we contemplate the famous statue, the Pietà, of how our Lord, being brought back down from the cross, is placed in the arms of his mother. And so she sees the fulfillment of the whole mission that our Lord had. She understands that, she grasps that, she knew that from the very beginning. And that was her fiat at the very beginning. She knew these things would take place. She knew she would have to suffer these things. That is why when we see in with Our Lady, it talks about how she would keep the things within her heart, to contemplate, to think about. And so she fully knew what she was in for as the Mother of God. And that is why her fiat is so important to us, of how willing she was to suffer all these things. The sorrowful mother, the seven sorrows of Our Lady. And it is something that I would say, especially you mothers, know very well about suffering, suffering for your children, the willingness to suffer for them. But I would encourage you to always have that devotion to the seven sorrows of Our Lady. I mean, it's a beautiful devotion when you think about what Our Lady suffered for all of us. And so very clearly, when our cross has become heavy for us, why not turn to Our Lady? One who suffered so much and who suffered so willingly, that she was always faithful to her son at the foot of the cross. She walked the stations of the cross with him. And so, yes, when our sufferings become so much, why not turn to Our Lady who understands suffering? I mean, she is the mother of sorrows. And so she understands that very clearly. She understands why we have to suffer in this life. And so I think for us, when we have our crosses, our trials, our sufferings, yes, it is difficult for us. It is very hard, but I think if we put it into perspective of the end result of what we are trying for and striving for in this life, I think it definitely helps us to bear those better. It doesn't necessarily take away the pain, the sufferings, but it helps us to bear them, to understand why. So as I say, just to contemplate and to think about Our Lady's fiat at the Annunciation, all the way then to holding her son in her arms. I mean, what a picture, what an image for us. And so, yes, we can see why the Church gives us, amongst the joys that we have of this Christmas season, and truly to be rejoicing in the fact that our Lord has come, that there will be sorrow. But we have an answer for that. That when we suffer willingly, when we suffer for the love of God, it is what will help us to be pleasing to Almighty God. It'll help us to have a greater understanding, a greater grasp of the crosses and the trials. Because the Church gives to us to contemplate these two prophecies of the holy man Simeon. And you see, with Simeon, all he wanted to do is to hold the salvation of the world in his arms, and then he could be dismissed in peace. That for him, his life would be fulfilled because of that. And we see that parallel with Our Lady at the end of our Lord's life, of she holding him in her arms too. I mean, Simeon, he prophesied about that, of all the sufferings that would have to be endured. And yet Our Lady still said, fiat, thy will be done. And so let us contemplate these things to imitate our Holy Mother, who suffered so silently for all of us in order for us to be redeemed. And so truly let us ask Our Lady to help us in this upcoming year, so that when our Lord does come again, he will find us ready as he found the holy man Simeon, and we too can be dismissed to our reward. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.